Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Things are going to be a little different today, obviously, because my mom's not here to play piano for one thing, but we're going to try and sing a few songs anyway and have a nice worship service, and then we'll study the Word. And before we do that, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We ask that thy Spirit would be here with us today, and that thou wouldest bless the hearts of each and every one here in attendance today, and who may hear this message later or hear it online. We ask, O God, that thy Spirit would wash over us, and that thou wouldest fill us with thy great joy. Bless this service, I pray, and I ask it in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Now, I'm going to try something that I haven't actually done before. We're going to try singing some songs from the songbook, Melodies of Praise, if you can find one of those. It'll be a little unusual because there's no piano, but I think we can do it. I know I'm not much of a singer, and I haven't sung these particular songs for quite some time. But we'll see how things go. And the first one I'd like to go to is number 178, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dear far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Praise the Lord. And you can never go wrong following Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as he told us in John chapter 14. Next song I'd like to go to in this book is number 71. Joy Unspeakable. You see, there's actually great joy in following the Lord. I know we can get wrapped up in so many of the negative things that go on, but despite it all, we can have this joy, and it's an unspeakable joy. It's joy that cannot be described in words. Let's sing this song, if I can remember how it goes. I have found his grace is he supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Praise the Lord. Well, kind of got off to a rocky start on that one, but I think I can't even remember how many years it's been since we sang that song. We actually used to sing that one all the time here. It was kind of a staple for a lot of our song services, and it was one of my favorites. The song I'd like to go to next is number 85, He Keeps Me Singing. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Praise the Lord. All right, well, I think what we'll do now is take up our tithes and offerings. Could I get a volunteer to do that for me? Thanks. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. We ask, O God, that thou wouldest bless the giver and also bless those who are unable to give as well. We ask, O God, that these monies would be used for thy purpose and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood, amen. And I figure we'll sing one more song before we get started with our message today. Number 34 in the chorus book, if you can find a chorus book. It's called How Great is Our God. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you. Just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord. You can never go wrong putting your trust in God. We're going to get started with our message for today in just a moment. I'd like to pray one more time before we do that. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to study Thy holy word. We ask, O God, that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts, and that we would not lose these words that You have for us today, O God. But we ask that they would bless us greatly, and that we would follow hard after Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. I ask this in Jesus' name, for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right, now, where we're going to be going to start off today is Exodus chapter 14. And of course, this is the story of the crossing of the Red Sea shortly after the Israelites left their bondage in the land of Egypt. And, we're going to be looking at various stories in the Bible. I know that there are many times in life when it seems like we're in impossible situations, that there's no way out. But when you serve a mighty God, there's always a way out. There's always a solution. There's always an answer. And we need to learn to look to God in faith And He will deliver us no matter what our circumstances may be, no matter how hard it may seem. You know, sometimes you feel like you're back into a corner and there's nothing you can do. There's always something you can do. You can cry out to God for deliverance and He will hear you. Let's begin here in Exodus chapter 14. This is an amazing story. And there are so many amazing stories in the Bible. We're going to start with this one, and we'll, like I said, we'll move to other stories in the Bible as well. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And of course, this is right after the Israelites were finally granted permission to leave the land of Egypt. There had been plagues throughout the land, and you know, it took 10 plagues before they finally let the children of Israel go. Pharaoh, he had a very hard heart. And we'll see here that even as they finally did get to go and they were getting ready to camp here and they were camping, now most people would say that this is a bad spot to camp, but God did have a plan in this, and He was going to show not only the Egyptians how mighty He was, but also the children of Israel. So this did serve a purpose. So they're camping against the Red Sea, which limits the direction they can travel quite significantly. Verse 5 tells us, And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? You know, they enjoyed their free slave labor, and they worked those Israelites very hard, the Egyptians. And once they realized, hey, these Israelites are gone, they weren't too happy about it. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. You have to wonder at that moment how the children of Israel must have felt. They were finally free of the land of Egypt, and all of a sudden there's this multitude of chariots and horses following after them. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now that would be a frightening sight, but of course, nothing is too hard for the Lord, and it wasn't a hard thing for the Lord to overcome that Egyptian army. And that was something the children of Israel were about to learn. This was one of many lessons they had to learn before they were finally allowed to enter the promised land. And they said unto Moses, Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? You know, the Israelites, many of them, they didn't have a lot of faith, obviously, and they thought they would have been better off in Egypt. They figured, well, it's better to be a living slave than a dead man in the wilderness. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So, yeah, they thought they were better off in Egypt at this point. And of course, you know, some people, they try serving the Lord and they think it's too hard, and oftentimes they end up going back into Egypt, so to speak. For we know that this world out there spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. There's a spiritual Egypt out there. You are far better off being free of that Egypt than dwelling therein. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to call the title of this message today, See the Salvation of the Lord. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And you know, we have an adversary who tries to wreak havoc on our lives. Sometimes he tries to follow us around, cause trouble. But there's a day coming, a wonderful day coming, when time shall be no more, and we will be in eternity, and we will see our adversary no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God was about to do a great miracle. He was going to roll back the waters of the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could pass over on dry land. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. You see, sooner or later, we all learn who God is. Even those who don't believe today, they're going to bow down before Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow. We all learn eventually. Some people learn the hard way. It's far better if you just follow God's commandments, if you obey him. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. That was a miracle too. And there was this angel there and this pillar of cloud. And to the Egyptians it looked like darkness. But to the children of Israel it looked like light. And it prevented the Egyptians from getting too close until after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And of course the Egyptians saw that, and they must have thought, well, no problem, we'll just follow and pursue after them, and we'll get them as we cross the sea. So here you have the children of Israel who thought they couldn't cross, and the Egyptians who thought they could. And we'll see what happens to them in these verses I'm about to read now. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So at this point, after the wheels on their chariots fell off as they tried to cross the Red Sea, the Egyptians were afraid. And you know, when the Lord fights for us, all of Satan's kingdom is afraid. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. You know, many of those Egyptians drowned in that water because they were disobedient to the Lord and they were pursuing the children of Israel. They weren't supposed to do that, but they did it anyway, and they suffered the consequences. And there are great consequences for disobeying the Lord. But great blessings when you obey Him. The Israelites crossed over safely, but the Egyptians did not. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Talk about an impossible situation, but nothing is impossible with God. It seemed there was no way out of this one, but God made a way. He can make a way where there is no way. Praise the Lord. I would now like to go to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to look at some more miraculous stories. Stories that happened to the children of God. People who walked in obedience to the Lord. And this is a story about a great prophet in the Bible, the prophet Elijah. Elijah was not a favored man by Ahab, the king of Israel, because he's always causing trouble for King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And this time he predicts that there's going to be a great drought and that it would not rain in the land of Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it tells us, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So Elijah informs the king, Ahab, that it's not going to rain, and of course Ahab was none too pleased about this, so the Lord told Elijah that he needed to flee for his own safety because the king was very angry with him, and if the king could have, he probably would have killed Elijah, but that was not the Lord's will. So God told him to get over by the brook Cherith, and he would drink of that brook, and he would send ravens to feed him, which is an amazing miracle also, but we know that even the animals can hear the voice of God. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. It obviously hadn't rained for quite some time, and finally that brook that Elijah had been drinking from, that dried up too, so he was going to have to move on. But the Lord had a plan for him, and the Lord was going to tell him where to go. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So Elijah, he was obviously very thirsty and was hoping for a little food to eat also. So he asked this woman if she would bring him a morsel of bread. But we'll see here that she didn't really have much of anything that she could give him. Verse 12, and she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. So that was the last of her food, and there wasn't much there. Things seemed pretty grim for this woman. Things seemed impossible. Seemed like there was no way out of this one. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. You'll notice that's a recurring theme in the Word of God. Fear not. You know, when the Lord is on our side, you have nothing to fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So this woman just told him, you know, we only have a little bit left, and I'm going to make a little bit of food for my son and I, and after that, that's it, and we'll die. And yet Elijah still asks her to bring him some food. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So God was telling her, Elijah was telling her that God was going to work a great miracle, and that this barrel of meal would not waste, and the cruse of oil would not fail. They would be able to use that again and again, and it would never run out. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. It never ran out. And, you know, sometimes when you're wondering how you're going to survive, God can bless you in ways you're not expecting, and those blessings, they can just keep coming and coming. If you truly look to him in faith, nothing wavering. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. So this young boy died, and obviously, his mother was very upset about that. She thought that perhaps she had done something. Perhaps she had sinned greatly, but God was going to work a miracle here too. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? So this woman must have done something in her past that she wasn't proud of, and she thought, that this must have been the reason that her son died, but that wasn't really the case. In fact, we'll see that God is about to work a great miracle. And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. So God worked a great miracle there that day. The soul of that boy was restored to him, and he was revived. He had been dead. And you know, God will do the same for us in a spiritual sense. For those of us, you know, there were times in our lives when we felt as though we were spiritually dead, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon us and he revived us and restored our souls. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is true." There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can heal your body. He can provide you with food, even if there seems to be none anywhere. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Let's go now to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. And we'll see another miracle that God worked. Second Kings, chapter 4, verse 1. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah." Now at this point, Elijah had been carried off in a whirlwind and by the Lord, and Elisha was left, and he was the successor of Elijah. And there was a widow woman, and she needed help. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and a creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.'" In those days, if you couldn't pay your debt, sometimes they would come and take your children, and your children would become slaves. And of course, no mother would want to see that happen to her children, so she was very distressed. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." She was poor. She didn't have anything except a pot of oil. But even when you have just a little, God can make that stretch. "Then he said, 'Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few.'" In other words, borrow a lot of them. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." This woman, she didn't have much. All she had was one pot of oil, and she was going to fill all these empty vessels with that oil. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. You know, that oil just kept coming and coming and coming, and she just kept pouring it into those empty vessels. And she told her boys, "Bring me another one," you know, and she couldn't They couldn't bring her one because there weren't any more vessels to fill. And when that finally happened, that's when the oil stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." There was so much oil there that there was enough to sell to pay her debt, and enough was left over for them to live on. What a great miracle. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I'd like to look at another story. 2 Kings chapter 6. Shouldn't be too hard to find. Just a couple pages over from chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 6, and we're going to hear about some more miracles from the Lord. In verse 1 it tells us, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make a place, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So they wanted a little upgrade to their living accommodations. They must have been a little cramped, and they were hoping to build something so that they have a little more room. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Started cutting down wood, and they were going to use that to build their new dwelling. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." He must have felt pretty bad at the time. He had borrowed that axe from someone else, and he lost it. It fell into the water, and of course, a heavy axe head like that is going to sink right to the bottom. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. So Elisha just took a stick and threw it in the water, and the axe had miraculously rose to the top. It floated, despite being made of iron. "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. You know, that may seem like a relatively small thing in comparison to the many of the miracles that God has done. But sometimes, I think he delights in those small miracles. I remember some of the stories my dad used to tell. And I believe it was when he was still going to school in Appleton. And he had parked in a parking structure, and it was time for him to leave. And he realized as he was leaving that he had no money. He didn't know what he was going to do. You get to the exit, and you have to pay. And he got there, and before he could even open his mouth to try to explain to the attendant said to him, "You don't have to pay today. Just go right through." And so he did. It may seem like a small thing, but some of those small miracles, it just goes to show that God even cares about the small things. And I remember another story Dad used to tell. For a long time, our family was very, very poor. We didn't have a lot of money, and he wrote the newsletter every month. And I believe it was still relatively young in the publication years of that newsletter, and he would go down to Madison to get it printed. And I remember he didn't have the money to pay for the printing, so he called them and asked if he could get the newsletter printed and pay them later, and they agreed to do that. But as he was leaving the house, he checked the mail, opened the mail, and there was a letter in there from a man who had borrowed money from him years and years and years ago. And he was finally paying him back, and it was the exact amount he needed to get the newsletter printed. So, God, He can help you even with the small things sometimes. Let's continue on in chapter 6. And in verse 8 it tells us, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" So the king of Syria was making war with the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, and he had plans here, battle plans. He was going to set up camp in certain places. But God revealed all of his plans to the prophet Elisha. "And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice." It happened more than twice. It doesn't say exactly how many times this happened, but the plans of this king of Syria were revealed by God to Elisha the prophet, and because of that, he was able to get the warning out, and because of that, the Syrians' plans were foiled. "Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?'" So the king of Syria just assumed that there must be a spy among them, because the Israelites always knew ahead of time what the Syrian army was going to do. "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.'" There's nothing hidden from the Lord. And you can't keep any secrets from God, so there's no point in trying. Even the very things that this king would speak upon his bedchamber, God would reveal those to the prophet Elisha. "And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.'" So the king had enough of this. He told him, "Go find out where this Elisha guy is, and you fetch him. I want to have a talk with him." "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." So there is this great army, chariots and a great host. They came for one man, but they would be unsuccessful in their goal here. Verse 15 tells us, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And he answered," here it is again, "'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" There were angels there, warriors of God that this servant of Elisha could not see. But it tells us in verse 17, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, 'Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." And you know, we can't always see the angels around us, but they're there. And actually, we can't see them most of the time. They are there. The Bible assures us of that. So we don't need to be afraid. We should really take those words to heart. Fear not. It's a recurring theme. You hear that again and again throughout the Bible. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, 'Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, 'This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek.' But he led them to Samaria." You know, because of their blindness, they didn't know that they were actually talking to the man they were seeking. And he told them, you know, I'll lead you to him, I'll show you the way. And he actually ended up taking them into Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? I'm sure the king of Israel wanted to smite these men, but that was not the will of God. And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Now, isn't that nice? They could have killed these men, but instead of doing that, Elisha instructed that they be fed, give them food and drink, and then send them away. And that's what they did, and that was actually a great witness to the king of Syria, and actually to the king of Israel also. You know, it's compassion is not a sign of weakness. In fact, there is no one more compassionate than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful thing to be compassionate. We all need to be compassionate as well. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. You know, that must have seemed like an impossible situation too, at least to the servant of Elisha, who could not see those angels round about God's army there to protect them. He was afraid. But Elisha knew that God was with them, and he was not afraid. We also do not need to be afraid. No matter how dire the situation may seem, no matter how much trouble may be upon us, God has a way out. He can deliver you from anything, no matter what your circumstances may be. I'd like to go to another story. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. And at this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus had already been resurrected. And he had appeared unto his disciples and unto others several times before this. And he was going to show himself again. And of course, we know that some of the disciples, they were fishermen by trade. And you know, one day they just thought, well, let's go fishing. Maybe they needed some money or going to sell the fish. It doesn't specify, but that could very well be the case. John chapter 21, verse 1 tells us, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Of course, the sons of Zebedee, that would have been James and John. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So, Simon Peter, he gets this idea, I'm going to go fishing, you know. Maybe they needed to earn some money, or maybe he just didn't know what to do with himself. You know, this was after Jesus' resurrection, after his crucifixion and his resurrection and so forth. And, you know, he just thought one day, well, I'm going to go fishing. But it was not a prosperous fishing trip. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Now these men, they had been fishing all night. They hadn't caught a thing, not a single fish. Of course, Jesus is standing on the shore asking them if they have any food, and you would think that after fishing all night, they would have caught a few, but they hadn't caught anything. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And of course that's John, the disciple. And you know, sometimes when God works a miracle in your life, provides for you in amazing ways you're not expecting, you just have to say, It is the Lord. God did this. And they knew immediately. They knew immediately that this was Jesus. And of course, this also recalled to mind the story, the very similar story in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus had done the same thing for Peter and some of the others. They were fishing, and this was actually when he called them to be disciples, and they weren't catching anything, and Jesus told them to drop their net in a specific place, and they did, and they caught a multitude of fishes. And I'm sure they thought of that immediately when this happened. They remembered that incident. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And of course, Simon Peter, he was always so impetuous and anxious, and he didn't waste any time. He dove into the sea. He didn't want to wait for the ship to return to the shore so he could see Jesus. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. That's really amazing, you know. They fished all night, didn't catch anything, not a single fish. Jesus tells them where to drop that net, and they come up with 153 fish. 153. What a great miracle. You know, sometimes when you don't know what you're going to do, or you don't know how you're going to pay a bill, or sometimes you might not even know how you're going to afford food, just look to the Lord. He'll make a way where there is no way. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. By this time they knew that it was Jesus. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And of course, this was before his ascension into heaven, and he did show himself to the disciples and to various other people several times before he went up into heaven. This was a great miracle. And, it may seem like a relatively minor miracle in comparison to some of the others, but Jesus delights in those small miracles sometimes. Just letting his disciples catch a basket of 153 fishes, filling that net, and the net didn't even break, which was also a miracle. All right, I'd like to go to one more portion of Scripture before we close. John chapter 14. We're going to read a short portion from this chapter. You know, if you don't know what to do, just turn to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. When it seems like there is no way, just turn to Jesus. He is the way. John chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I look forward to that day when we finally get to abide in heaven with our Lord. That day is coming. Could be a lot sooner than you think. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we need to look to Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the source of all truth, and he is the source of all life. He is the way to salvation, and no matter what your circumstances may be, no matter what troubles you may be facing, you can turn to Jesus Christ, and he will show you the way. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? See, it was God, very God, dwelling inside the body of Jesus Christ, the very Spirit of the living God, the same God who worked all those miracles in the Old Testament, rolled back the waters of the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross over on dry land. That same Spirit who sustained Elijah and his successor Elisha. That very Spirit was in Jesus Christ. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, we can still expect miracles today. Great works for the cause of the kingdom of Christ. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever your needs may be, if you ask the Lord, and you are abiding in his will, and you're asking in obedience and in faith, it tells us here that he will do it. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And when Jesus says something, you can count on it to be true. Whatever your needs may be, he is a miracle worker. And he has great miracles waiting for each and every one if we can just let our faith grow in the Lord so much that we believe that he'll do these things for us. If you can believe without doubting, that's when you see miracles happen. And we're going to need those miracles as things get rougher out there. We're going to need to rely on God when there's nowhere else to turn. When your back's against the Red Sea, so to speak, you don't know where to go, he can make a way for you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy holy word. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us. We thank thee for the many examples of thy miraculous works. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst strengthen our faith greatly, that we would fully embrace the words of thy holy scriptures, that we would believe fully and not doubt. I ask, O God, that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts and that they would not leave us. I ask that thy blessing would be upon each and every one of us as we leave this building this day. I pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. We can sing one more chorus in closing, number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. I think most of us probably know that one by now. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.